Brett Thomas here with Clint Fuse. Clint, thanks so much for getting together today and your time.
Oh, for sure, Brett. It's my pleasure, as always, and just really excited to be talking to you right now and be taking part in this Integral Leadership Collaborative event happening next month.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot's happened over the last few years, and you and I obviously go way back and have kind of seen a lot of the evolution of Integral. And so, yeah, you know, what is it that that you're particularly, you know, excited about right now? What kind of changes do you see happening in this evolving sort of Integral wave and this Integral movement, and what sort of projects are you just kind of really excited about right now?
Yeah, what am I excited about? Well, you know, I'm always excited about that whole race that we've talked about for years to that mythical, you know, 10% of the population reaching Integral wave for development, and then, right, everything's supposed to change. But in lieu of that happening, I think it was 10 years ago that was supposed to happen in 10 years, and I think it's still 10 years from now. So we're just plugging ahead, and personally, I'm really excited about sort of an emerging, how to say this, like, you know, as you know, we go way back, but both of us have also been involved in this community, the Integral community, and its various extensions for nearly a decade, if not more. And there's been a growing sense of increased seriousness and urgency from my perspective, and in particular, three personal things that I've been involved with in regards to my own research and my own work that have been really exciting. First of all, the first one is the project that Ken and I have been working on for the last 2 years called Core Integral. And basically the root of what that effort is really comes from one of the first conversations that a group of us had with Ken back in 2003. It was actually the first time I met him in person and started working with the early pre-Integral Naked crowd, you know, basically right at that time. And it was a project that would take his writing across all of his books and do something in the multimedia domain that would make the learning and the education more accessible. And many attempts were made over the years with many folks, and for various reasons it never came to pass. I don't know what led to it for me, but I kind of got fed up with it, got serious about the importance of that sort of vision and the need for those types of educational opportunities, and then about 2 years ago started Core Integral. Since then, we're moving along with our first series of our vision, which includes three online e-learning courses. Basically, rewriting the curriculum, staying really close to all the major concepts in Ken's books, but reconstructing and retelling the story, as it were, from the ground up, just so that learning efficacy and excitement can be increased. And we're two courses into our three-course series, and then we've got a lot more planned after that. And, again, our primary mission here is basically to expand access while ensuring the integrity of a comprehensive integral understanding. And that understanding really has three capacities or components that make up our general effort. One of those clearly is integrity in the theoretical understanding, but it's not just about theory in and of itself. We also simultaneously work to cultivate in our learners an application and analysis capacity so they can take these theoretical distinctions and apply them relevantly and effectively to basically problems in their issues and challenges in their personal and professional lives. And the third is cultivating a requisite sort of integral awareness, which really is a first-person sort of coming together with these third-person maps such that the distinctions that they contain are actually live and psychoactive in your present and immediate awareness, arising in the moment as you're encountering, you know, the complexities of our personal and professional lives. So we're attempting in a way to expand beyond just the theory while also, you know, making sure that we're covering all the major bases and making that learning, which otherwise could take several decades, as it has for many of us, and several dozen books while making that more effective and sort of compressing the time it takes to get up to speed, as it were. Beyond that, you just, you know, mentioned briefly moving along in my dissertation work. Hopefully, fingers crossed, knock on some wood, have about a year left. I'm moving into my dissertation proposal, and it's framing up to be an exploration of the levels of perspective taking in adult leaders and managers, specifically looking at how they use perspective taking in the domain of decision making.
Nice.
Collaborating with Developmental Testing Service, Zach Stein, who I know you've spoken to recently and who'll be taking part next month, working with him and Theo Dawson on a project where it's just really exciting. We should finally get some relevant and accessible data on how it is that adults actually take perspectives and how we can help over time to cultivate that ability, not just towards greater complexity, but specifically towards greater accuracy of those perspectives.
So I have a question about, well, I want to come back to the perspective taking in a minute, but I want to go back a little bit further. And you were talking about developing this multimedia course to learn integral theory in a way that doesn't involve reading any Wilbur books, which is quite an
interesting. We're not excluding the Wilbur books, but, you know, basically I think our approach there is we've recognized how long it's taken folks who've been reading Ken's books since back in the 70s, how long it's taken
for 30 years.
Towards what they conceive as an actionable degree of knowledge. And really, that's the point. I mean, Ken, yeah, he's a philosopher at heart, but he has a vision for how, and this is clearly represented in his work, about how this map, this theory, can help make our world, frankly, a better place. And yet, without certain degrees of what I would call now requisite sort of scaffolding in that education, it takes folks, in my opinion, too long to get up to speed such that they assess themselves as ready to do the work. So we're not excluding his books. We're saying if you've read his books for 15 years, these courses will help close gaps that have naturally developed in your knowledge. Or if you're just starting out, you can start with these books, get a broad sweeping, you know, more than just overview. It actually gets into some pretty into the depths of this work. But then go back to the books, and you'll get substantially more from them.
Here's a relevant question to that. I remember going way back to 2004, you were stacking chairs for a seminar, and in the process of doing that, I was following you around, and you were explaining to me something that hadn't been published yet called integral methodological pluralism, and you were blowing my mind. And so I would say that you've had a good understanding, in my experience of you, of integral theory, you know, from the very first time I met you and going way back, even before some of this stuff was published. But here's my question. How has your understanding of integral theory transformed, and how have you transformed by going through and creating a multimedia integral theory course, you know, based upon all those books? What surprised you, or what change as a result of this process of getting to work so closely with Ken to create this whole new way of bringing the material across?
I remember that time sat on the chairs and talking to you, and I think, thank God it was you, or you would have, or someone else would have severely judged me, because I think the biggest transformation that I've undergone is back then, and, you know, I've been reading Ken's work for 13 years now and studying it directly with him for about 8.5. Which is certainly a rare opportunity that I've been honored to, you know, have unfolded in my life. But back then, God, I would even say as far forward as 3 years ago, for me it was too much about the theory, and I was too wrapped up in understanding it to some perfected degree. And what I missed in there personally was these other two components that I just mentioned that we try to include in the core integral courses, which is the application and the awareness. And even worse than that, what I think this was one of the major liabilities in sort of my service to this community was not cultivating or expressing sort of a balanced approach in the folks that I encountered. So that's why I said, you know, I'm glad it was you talking to me about IMT back in the day. But I've also done workshops that entire time, been teaching this stuff for many, many years, and have a bit of regret maybe a little bit of guilt on probably leading too many people down a similar path of thinking it's too much or should be more so about the theory. And that's been the biggest transformation for me. It's a maturity, it's a development. You know, obviously we all develop in our relationships to any of these domains or skills or areas of knowledge that we can acquire. And I've been developing, thank God, right along with everybody else. And I think Core Integral, these courses embody, and were a catalyst for that development. One way that I like to refer to how that development unfolds and how it's unfolded in me, we call it second simplicity. You know, so if we're acquiring knowledge in any domain, say the integral theory or really whatever, we start with sort of a simplistic understanding. And that simplistic understanding often exists with definitional structures and binary ways of relating to material, and either understand this or you don't. And if they have that sort of mindset, clearly we're all striving to achieve, you know, a better understanding. And as we move down that path of achievement, what we find is we enter a realm or a second stage or level of complexity where this thing is radically overwhelming. There's so much to know. And for me particularly, being masculine-oriented, I said, I can take on this complexity. And that's where I got mired for many years. Basically like, hey, there's a lot of complexity, but I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to help others figure it out. And working with Ken, not that he was the listen advocate of that approach, but sort of unconsciously, you strive to achieve, you know, as much as what you admire in those folks who inspire you. And obviously his understanding of that complexity is far beyond mine. So I made that the direction of my sort of practice, you know, with understanding and working with integral theory. And what I recognized, again, probably really 3 years ago, leading up to the creation of Core Integral, was that there was another level beyond that. There was another realm beyond that, and that's what we call the second simplicity. And it's the simplicity that transcends and includes that complexity, but moves you into a realm of a radically different relationship to what this world philosophy, what these integral maps actually are and what they're actually good for. And it doesn't lead you to a place where you can neglect, you know, the requisite complexity that does exist in something like, you know, Ken's body of work. But it changes the way you relate to that. And it's radically adjusted basically every area of my life moving into that realm of second simplicity. Everything from how I use this in my own personal life, how I've become, I think, less of an asshole through
practice, all of it,
through greater understanding, and through how I approach, you know, my greatest gift in my service, which is helping others discover for themselves what good integral, the integral approach can do for them and their lives and their practices. And thank God development continues to unfold, because God only knows what trouble I would have gotten myself in had I stayed in that realm of complexity for even a year longer.
This feels so relevant to many of our mutual friends and colleagues that are integral appreciators and integral practitioners and people interested, many of the people listening to this call that are interested in this idea of integral leadership, whatever that is. And I'm really interested in how your thinking has evolved around what you were just saying. This desire to understand integral theory, we have these various relationships with integral theory that you just articulated, three different stages of that. And then you said that there's this desire to do something in the world, this desire to give your gift, to somehow make a difference in the world. And I can't count how many conversations over the last few years I've had with people in the integral community just with that ambition. I want to do something in the world. I'd love to bring more integral in the world. I'd love to, you know, use these ideas to help me lead. And I'm curious what your thoughts are about that. Like, I mean, how has your thinking about integrally informed leadership and how these integral lenses and this integral awareness helps leaders? And then also, like, is leadership emerging in the integral movement so that the integral movement itself begins to have more impact in the world? What are your thoughts about that? That seems very relevant to an online conference on integral leadership, right?
Well, I really want to bracket the last one about how's leadership emerging in the integral community, since that's a massive area of consideration. I think actually it's one area that you and I and others have discussed doing a panel on which will be really exciting. But
I've
always related to integral leadership basically at face value, not that I'm trying to reduce it to just two words. But for me, the integral piece brings in some degree, and certainly a varying degree, if you look across the community, of integral. Integral for me mostly means AQUIL or Ken's all-quadrant, all-level framework, not because I'm putting that up there necessarily as best or the only thing you have to align to if you're going to call yourself an integral leader, but because that's where I serve from. That's where my experience has been, and that's where I think I can offer the greatest service from that sort of realm. So saying that without excluding what, you know, often is called integrally informed leadership or integrative leadership, all of which is represented in this community, basically this global community, basically across the board. So the leadership component then, for me that lands in a place of deep personal engagement with self and other. And there's a radical degree of authentic practice and authentic beingness that it brings up for me. And it's simultaneously, you know, for me, a four-quadrant affair. So leadership isn't just what you do. It isn't just how you think. It isn't just how you can resonate with a group and help them come together around a particular vision. And it isn't just the type of systems that you can set up to achieve, you know, your mission or those visions. It's all of those simultaneously. And even beyond that, it's the practice of being able to move from a place of recognition of at least those four dimensions, which you can sense are based simply on the four quadrants. And then beyond that, move from a place of deep recognition of all the various important elements that exist in the integral approach, variables that we can otherwise track. So to me, there's a huge developmental component to it, both an individual developmental component and also a collective developmental component. So I think integral leadership is a coming age of increased, more compassionate, more effective, more authentic consciousness and action in both the individuals who may be taking a formal or informal leadership role and in the collectives who associate with those leaders. So this entire effort for me seems like an investment in our future. And I think evolution has a huge role to play in this. That's not to say that we're not responsible, that the efforts that all of us put into this aren't having an impact or having an effect, but that it's simultaneously both of those. And at some point, evolution will reach a place where we wake up, I think, one day and look around and say, yeah, this, that, those people over there, that's integral leadership. That's what we were trying to describe 10 years,
right,
30 years ago, whatever it was. So from that orientation, it suggests to me that, well, let me speak about it personally. I'm not going to be morally prescriptive to the folks listening to this interview, but it suggests to me a practice that asks, how do I make, you know, my next step come from my highest, my most authentic self, such that if it indeed is one of those steps that starts to carve this groove deeper and influence the possible steps that folks in the future take. You know, how can I lead from the most authentic place? How can I step from the most authentic place? Not even looking at it, you know, across 5 and 10 years, but looking at it literally moment by moment. And as you can sense, I mean, that's simply a radically difficult practice. But how it's changed my orientation is that it's put me on a developmental trajectory so that I can best be a part of this emerging collective effort that I think one day really will land something in the world that we could call integral leadership.
Yeah, that's my hope as well. And I've heard that you and some of your research colleagues at Integral Institute have been developing some new practices or new frames or approaches. Possibly some of those are going to be involved in Core Integral, but that help this, and that you're going to perhaps be presenting some of those ideas in the form of a keynote at the online conference. Can you just share a little bit about what some of these new developments are that you're excited about and that you think might help do the very thing that we were just talking about?
Yeah, well, I hope it helps do the very thing we were just talking about. I mean, that's something we try to stay as closely aligned with as possible and sort of check in with you know, every step along the way. And, you know, it also is a product of this sort of development that we've been talking about, both personally and what I think will happen in the future, personally for me, and what I think will happen this community in the future. And, you know, back in the day, as part of my early, master's and early doctoral work, I wrote a bunch of theoretical papers, some of which mapped out integral leadership using the integral approach and the variables and whatnot, and some of which also mapped out in really rigorous and sort of radically complex and arguably inaccessible ways sort of the territory of perspective taking, just so that we can have, a better understanding of what is this realm and how does it function. And the reason I was able to engage that sometimes really advanced theoretical work was because I always saw between myself and just a few close colleagues a connection with a deeper purpose. And that purpose was using that theoretical work to inform the development of more specific practices that, and again, we haven't gotten to the place where we research these practices and their effects directly, but our intuition tells us that they may have a really profound effect on a really micro level, a really micro developmental scale, on helping leaders develop not just a theoretical understanding of these integral maps, I mean, that in some sense is a prerequisite to get this moving forward, but to develop whatever capacity it is that exists in humans that will allow us to move forward from moment to moment and accurately and authentically gauge how it is that we can move towards stepping from our highest self in every next action. And one of those core capacities that I've just been, frankly, obsessed with since the early 2000s is perspective taking. I mentioned earlier that my research is focusing on that from a more meta perspective, just again so we can have a better understanding what levels of development are in perspectival capacity in adults. But sort of behind the scenes with a few colleagues, Brian Berger being the primary colleague there, we've developed practices, a whole range of different practices which we've tested sort of behind the scenes for the last few years that we think help people take better, more compassionate, more accurate perspectives. And why perspective taking? Why focus there? Well, just simply, it is through a perspective that we come to understand and experience and enact literally anything about our world, be it just the shape of some physical object, or be it the feeling that's arising in me as an individual in this moment, or the feeling that's arising in that other person over there. And obviously it gets, more complex beyond that, but it really is through perspectives that we come to encounter any and all of that. Just actually informed by these sessions sort of started back, the whole clearing the chair situation. The obsession started with the line that Ken included in that unpublished work in Volume 2 of his Cosmos trilogy, that perspectives are primordial. We just sort of threw that one out there, and we just sort of originally took it on faith, and it's been my sort of journey the last 8 years to unpack that, one, to verify it. Is it true? If it is true, what are the implications? And then to map it better. And then now, and most importantly and most excitingly, how can we cultivate our ability to engage our perspectival capacities? And again, I think the key that's emerging is with greater accuracy, not with greater complexity necessarily. There's a growth to goodness assumption. This is a conversation that's gone on. Zach Stein actually started it, but I've participated to some degree, and I certainly agree with what he's put out there in this conversation, that we've got to get away from or be more critical with the notion that higher is always better. So, yeah, we could talk about what it means to take a fourth or fifth-person perspective or complexity perspective, but our initial anecdotal evidence has shown that that seems far less relevant to the coming of age of this integral leadership vision than can we take a more accurate second-person perspective.
Nice.
So we learned how to take second-person perspectives when we were children, but every day, day in, day out, we're doing that, 100% more than we're taking these fourth and fifth person ones. And what we've seen in this practice is that we're really good at taking those perspectives inaccurately. Meaning, simply, I'm working with you, Brett, and I don't actually have an accurate sense of your motivation, your feelings, your thoughts. They're just inaccurate. So what can we do to help basically attune ourselves more accurately to what's arising in ourselves and others before we get all obsessed with how do we take a fifth person complexity perspective? Because there are times that we need to do that, but it's built upon, can I actually tell what Brett's feeling?
Exactly. And when we talk about leadership and integral leadership, I love how you framed this. Does integral leadership mean, for example, well, this person is leading from teal or turquoise, right? Or could integral leadership mean this person is accurately understanding the perspective of the person right in front of them? You know, and it's like that also is a way of saying integral. And, you know, and so it becomes so fascinating what's important. Yeah.
And then the point is, I mean, the answer is, if there's even an answer, is that it's both of those. Right.
Right.
There's something about leading from a teal place with teal capacities, right, whatever that is and whatever those capacities are. But if we honor this cosmic pattern of transcend and include, then what's included is what you just said. Can I actually interface with one other person time and time and time again? Not can we do an eye-gazing exercise at a seminar and actually commune, like most of us certainly can do that. I'm saying when you're stressed, when you're contracted, when, you know, the proverbial shit's hitting the fan at work, do you know how to navigate such that you're getting an accurate read on yourself and others? Basically, our work's just directed us to doing that first, cultivating those skills first, because even when we get to the teal and turquoise sort of capacities, which, you know, we do mess around with, and yet they are out there, and they are going to be required for these complex problems that we all face, they're built upon those lower capacities through and through.
And so you're going to propose some specific practice that can help us do this better, more effectively.
Yeah, I mean, we're developing them as we go. We've been working on things for a couple of years, as I said, and some of it's been ported over into some specific leadership-oriented tools, basically a skill-based analysis and awareness tool that is deeply rooted in Ken's work but kind of keeps most of that sort of in the background. And when put in the hands of integral leaders who have a and I won't lie about it, you know, a requisite degree of understanding of the integral maps can start to cultivate these really micro skills, these really specific capacities, and do it in an active way. So, again, I mean, there's not much facility in this if the return on the investment is 10 years out, right? So trying to make these tools accessible, relevant, something you could use, you know, on Monday morning, but also something that you'll struggle with on Monday morning, but you'll have a place to go from there as you slowly sort of work. I think of it a lot like weightlifting. It's weightlifting for your perspective-taking capacities, and we do it every day. So let's engage it every day with a practice orientation while also, you know, having a tool, right, that can hopefully drive some benefit for the problem that shows up Tuesday morning.
Well, I can't wait to learn. I could use some more perspective taking skills for sure.
We all can.
Indeed. And I'm really excited about continuing this conversation.
Yeah, same here, Brett. And I just want to say thanks, you know, for having the vision to pull this off and having the capacity to bring together a team to make something like this a reality. I told you several times over the past couple of weeks as we've talked that how inspiring it is to see somebody and to see a group of people that you're working with, you know, really address specifically what's needed and moving this forward in a way that's going to allow for the involvement of folks around the globe. That's really inspiring, and I'm super excited to take part in it.
It's a wonderful community we have. All right, well, thanks again for your time, and we will be talking very soon. Thanks, Clint. Bye for now.
All right, Brett. Take care, man. Bye.
Bye.